Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Everybody, welcome to the Silence the Mind Cluck podcast. I am super happy today to have Jeevan with me. Jeevan, welcome.
Thank you for having me on, Maria. I'm very honored to be a guest.
Great. So please start by introducing yourself.
Hi, so as you said, I'm Jeevan. I work as a transformational coach, and I'm also an author. So I've written a book called Become a Person of Value, which is a basic go-to self-help book. So it covers topics such as goal setting, psychology, actual self-improvement on the whole, and a number of chapters that all gear towards you being your best self. So physicality is included in there as well. So that's a real good starting point for most people. The second book that I'm writing is more to do with asking the right questions to yourself. So it's more of a journal-based approach where you'll be asked a question, you know, where do I want to be in 5 years' time? You'll then write down what that looks like. There'll be some subsequent guidance. And then following that, there will be chance to write even more detail. So in answer to your question, I'm a coach and an author. And obviously they use the books.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us, so I love the idea of questions for silencing mind cluck, because I know when our brains start chattering away, at least for myself, one of the ways that I can interrupt that is by asking a question. So tell us a bit more about how you use questions and how you approach questions.
Yeah, so the mind is a very strange piece of kit, isn't it?
Yes.
It tends to focus on the negative. It tends to look at problems rather than solutions. And that is just the natural programming of people's mind. So it's a case of how can we change that programming through the use of a question, predominantly. So let's, for argument's sake, to say that your car's broken down. It's broken down on your drive. And obviously, that's not a great situation to be in, is it? Let's face it. You know, it's broken down.
Right.
Is there not maybe another way to look at it? Could this have been worse than it currently is? Could you have broken down 1,000 miles from home with no cell phone or no mobile phone, with no petrol in the tank and no one to pick you up for 17 hours? Could always be worse. So that's just one example. Other examples are, well, where do I want to be in 5 years' time? What is my ideal career? If you're not asking yourself questions, your mind will start asking its own questions, which aren't necessarily positive things. Yeah. So it's all about dictating how you're using your questions and how layered you go with those questions. Does that make sense? So as we sort of talked about just a moment ago, you know, if we were to use your podcast as an example, and you wanted to grow your podcast, you may ask questions such as, well, how can I get better or more guests on my podcast? How can I reach a wider audience? How can I improve on the demographic that is listening to my podcast? How could I market my podcast in a way that would go maybe viral? So without asking those questions, it's very difficult to get the answers to those questions, isn't it? You know, they don't just pop into your mind.
Right. So let's apply that to sort of a day-to-day situation. So say you're super stressed about a presentation at work.
Or
some type of work assignment. What sorts of questions would you, so you can imagine like the kinds of mind cluck that are going to go on. You're going to say like, ugh, I hate my job. I don't want to deal with this. I'm afraid of, you know, how I'm going to appear to other people, or what if I mess up, or maybe I don't feel well prepared enough, you know, so there could be all kind, or like, I'm not good enough to be making this presentation. There can be all kinds of things going on in one's mind in that sort of scenario. So what are the types of questions that you would suggest asking in that case?
Yeah. So as you said, you know, those are negative questions. How am I going to be judged by other people? Right. Instead, you want to ask something along the lines of, how can I give the best performance or presentation possible? What's going to be involved in the best possible presentation? What is the state that I should be in that would give me the best chance of giving a good presentation? Is it stress? You know, if you are stressed,
yeah.
The question might be, is this the best state to be in to give a presentation?
Right.
If I am feeling this way negatively, is this going to be the best way to, or is it going to be the optimal way to approach this? Why not? Or again, this is a question I think in my head, how can I talk or psych myself up before I give this presentation? Yeah. How can I say I'm a fantastic communicator? I believe in, you know, what I'm talking about. I'm strong in front of a crowd. I speak concisely and clearly without stuttering. You know, that's affirmation based. So there's questions and there's also statements that you can say that will put you in the best frame of mind. You know, if you look at players, you know, if you look at any sport, you know, Roger Federer or Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, they tell themselves, look, I'm the best player in the world.
Uh-huh.
And then they go out and deliver that. If you're telling yourself, you know, my presentation, you know, people are going to judge me badly and all this sort of thing, that's going to come across on the stage. And look, we all have it. It's what's called imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Sure.
The fear of inadequacy. You know, you also get the fear of rejection, the fear of success, all of those lovely things.
Sure.
And it's how you navigate through those. Everyone's not the same. The questions that they're asking are not always exactly the same, but we need to spin those questions off. So as you said, you know, instead of how you know, I'm going to be judged negatively or something along that side, how could I be judged positively? And there are answers to that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the thing that comes to mind when you just said that is, how do I judge myself positively? Because it starts with self-judgment. So if your self-judgment is, oh, I'm an imposter, then it becomes very difficult to deliver something in a confident way. But instead, if you could ask yourself, okay, when was the last time I felt like a total powerhouse?
Yeah.
And how can I summon all of that energy and all of that feeling into what I'm about to do right now, like as a way to psych yourself up? I mean, that's just one example.
Well, exactly. As you've said, absolutely, you know, couldn't have said it better, if I'm honest. You know, self-image and self-esteem is so important. If you've got a poor self-image, that comes across. And as you said about the powerhouse and looking back at previous experiences, everyone feels like a failure at some point, but you've been through so much. Everyone's been through so much. I've been through so much. So have you, and so have all of your listeners.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can forget some of your previous successes, even if they're small. Right. You know, you've got yourself a job. Fantastic. You got yourself a promotion. You've got yourself a car. You passed your driving test. All these little things we need to be grateful for. And when we're grateful for them, actually it increases our self-esteem as well. So let's say, you know, I've got my own house and I own a car and I've got a dog and just sort of normal things to some people. Yeah. But for other people, it's not normal. You know, they live at home with their parents still. They don't even have a car or a driving license. But they have got things that they could be grateful for. And when you're grateful, you improve the vibration of your body and you improve your self-image, which then comes across as confident and successful, which then may allow you to do a better talk, as you've just said. So
yeah. Sorry, I was going to say, I really like that. And what that made me think of is I was a Peace Corps volunteer in West Africa many years ago.
Okay.
And there I lived in a remote rural village and, you know, had no running water, no electricity. I was among people who were very, very poor, but they were very, very wealthy in their relationships and just in their calm and their ease with life. It was really incredible to witness that. And one of the things that I took from that was when I'm thinking about being grateful, so being grateful at the very basis level. So like, I'm grateful that I have running water. You know, I'm grateful that I can turn on the sink and drink and that's fine. And I do find that when you can focus on that sort of gratitude, then it changes your vibration. It changes how you feel in the moment, but it's also a great way to shut down mind clock. So instead of saying, oh, I'm an imposter, you can be like, you know what? I'm grateful I can breathe. I'm grateful I can walk. Look at, I get to talk. I can stand up. You know, all of these things, like I have clothes to put on. And like you said, I have a job, et cetera. I mean, all of those become very powerful ways to build oneself up in any time of lower self-esteem.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've all got things to be grateful about. Every single person, because everyone is, let's say everything I've got, I would just use obviously myself as an example. Someone else is jealous of those things. Uh-huh. Every single thing. You know, someone, like, I'm not the tallest guy, I'm probably 5'10", but someone who's 5'7" might wish they were 5'10". I've got a modest terrace house. Some people who've got a caravan or live at home with their parents would just like any house. I've got a 10 year old car that's a German car, but for someone else they might say, actually, I want a German car regardless of the age. So as you said, even down to granular levels, you know, I can walk and I can talk. I was on holiday, actually. I've just come back a few days back. And obviously you see people in not great situations. You know, some people sleep on the street, some people not the most of wealthy, they've got walking issues. You know, I was limping around and I'm thinking, well, do you know what? I'm just so grateful that I can actually walk to the shop and buy something. You know, so you have to have that first, because unless you're grateful for what you've got, you're never going to be grateful for anything. You could be a millionaire and wish you were a billionaire. You could then be a billionaire and wish you were a trillionaire. So where does that stop? And what you've just said actually about the Western Africa, when you're working out there, is sometimes because they have less, they are so grateful for the small things they have. And the really more important humane level things that aren't materialistic.
Right.
Sometimes we lose the real real nature of humanity because of the materialistic nature of the world in many countries anyway. You know, we always want the better job and the better income and the slightly better car, the better house. Where does that stop? You know, Bob Marley once said that, you know, if you're chasing money, it's numbers, isn't it, really? And numbers never end. So you're never going to be happy, you know, if you're just chasing materialistic life. And you know, if you just come back to questions for the moment, don't define your ideal life through social media or what others are doing. That's the worst thing. You know, people look at Dan Bilzerian, I don't know if you're familiar with who he is, and say, oh, that would be a great life. But for some people, that, you know, that might be. But for other people, they just want a nice, you know, $50,000 a year job, $100,000 a year job, even less than that, just a very basic $30,000 or dollars. Just have a really nice family that they can spend more time with their kids, as opposed to working 15 hours a day. So we need to define what we want first before we can get it.
Yeah. So tacking on to that, I recently was reading this wonderful book about wealth. And this was the best definition of wealth I've ever heard, which is wealth is what you value. So if you value relationships, if you value time, if you value, you know, animals, nature, whatever. So you can redefine wealth. So wealth doesn't have to be materialistic. Wealth doesn't have to just be money. And then so perhaps you're in a situation in your life where you're thinking, oh, I wish I had more money. But then you can look at what you might have instead of money. And that might actually represent greater wealth to you.
Yeah. But money is a means to something. So it's not necessarily the money that people want. It's what that can bring. So let's say we'll use money as an example. Is it money for a really nice car? Or is it money so that you can pay your bills without having to work so hard and spend more time with your kids? Is it money to be able to travel? Now, those three examples are very, very different. One is just for a nice car, one is to spend time with family, and the other is to travel. Coming back to questioning, is there a way that you can get those things without necessarily just focusing on the money? Because the money is a byproduct of providing. So something in my first book is really geared towards providing value. Uh-huh. Unless you provide value, money cannot be transferred. So, you know, one of Jim Rohn's famous quotes is, frustration is you looking for an above average job with above average pay without being an above average person. Mm-hmm. So many people want, you know, $100,000 job, but they don't want to develop the skill set that will bring in that $100,000.
Right, right.
So instead of focusing, oh, I want more money. Well, yeah, okay, let's just discount money for the moment, because money is attracted to people who are good at things, skill sets. So how can I sit down and plan my daily activities that will increase my skill set up to a point whereby the 100,000 will be remunerated for my services? And again, as you talked about earlier, mind clock, how can we change our focus to deliver the results in the best way possible?
Yeah, so let's bring this into like practical applications. So what are the kinds of questions that you would recommend asking if someone is just in a bad time in their life? So like they're not satisfied with their job, their relationship, where they live, whatever, you know, you can pick any one of those. And their brains are always telling them like, ugh, this, you know, life sucks. And how am I ever going to get out of this? What's a starting point to get out of that life sucks sort of mindset?
Well, I think the term life sucks, or I hate my job, or all of those comments that you just made, we need to delve deeper into what those mean.
Yeah.
So life sucks is such a broad spectrum, but why True. Does it suck?
Yeah.
You know, what is it specifically? Is it that you have lack of friends? Is it that you have lack of income? Is it that you don't enjoy the weather or climate in the location that you're living? Is it that you are single and you would like a relationship? There's literally hundreds and hundreds of things. So what I would suggest is, whatever you're feeling, whether it's the life sucks statement or I hate my job, we use hate the job because I think it's a little bit more narrowed.
Yeah, defined, sure.
Yeah. Well, why do you hate your job? Is it that you are working too hard for what you feel that you're bringing in? Is it that you are in a job that you don't like the industry, or that you feel that you are being misused in terms of the skill set that you have? You know, what's your personality type? Is it something, are you an extrovert who is working behind a laptop punching numbers? Uh-huh. Are you an introvert in a sales job? Is there some discrepancy there? So what you need to do is pen and paper, write down the good things about your job, bad things about your job. Yeah. And when you've got that list, focus on the good things and, you know, you're happy with those. How can we maybe change the negative things? Uh-huh. And then look at solutions. You know, we're not here to look at problems. We're here to identify problems, yes, but look at solutions.
Right.
The mind is a very, as we talked about earlier, very complex. But one thing that is universal is that the mind cannot focus on the negative. So if I said to you, Maria, look, don't think of elephants. Uh-huh. Although, you know, I've told you not to think of it, an elephant pops up in your mind because of the word elephant.
Uh-huh.
So many people say, oh, you know, I don't want a job that does this. I don't want to be single. I don't want to smoke. Why not actually use positive language instead? Uh-huh. I want a relationship. Not I don't want to be single. I want a relationship. Not uh-huh. I don't want to work here anymore. I want a job in X. Not I don't want to live here anymore. I would like to own my own place in this location, in a flat or wherever.
Yeah.
So you can see that although they sort of mean the same things, they really don't mean the same thing. Because as soon as you tell your mind, you know, I want a job doing this in this location for this income, etc., your mind and your attitude will start to head towards that, whether it will be looking for jobs on Read or Total Jobs, whether it would be speaking to your friends about possible opportunities. Mm-hmm. You've got a clear guide there, rather than saying, I don't want this, you know, I don't want this job. Well, that's not doing any good to anyone, really.
You're just that's true.
About things, aren't you?
Right.
Everyone has it. I have it all the time, you know, but sure. I then consciously, if I can say the word, trying to divert away from that. Earl Nightingale said, success is a worthy ideal that you are moving towards. So if you want to be a teacher, a teacher for four plus or all the children, that and you become one, you are a success. Bill Gates might not think so, but you are a success because that's what you stepped out to do and you've achieved it. So a couple of things. One, set goals and set out to achieve them. Write your goals down as well, by the way. There's no point in using your head as a filing cabinet. We need to have something tangible. Second of all, can you set bigger goals? Instead of having a business bringing in 20 grand, why not tell yourself, I'm going to have £1 million revenue in the next few years? And although you might not, you will start to think bigger. And when you start to think bigger, the chance of you hitting those targets increases significantly. You know, if you think of, as we say, Elon Musk and Bill Gates, he doesn't get to do this space, well, Elon Musk specifically, he doesn't get to run an electric car company and do the space travel without already thinking of that first. The house that you live in was thought up in the mind before it appeared in reality. An architect thought of the design, he designed it on paper, he drew it out, he got all his protractors and all the set squares and stuff out. He then sent it to be built by the builders. It was then decorated, and here it is. Every business, every idea in history has been exactly the same. So what can you design in your own mind before it appears in reality? It's a really interesting question.
That is. And so another thing that I wanted to touch on that you had written in something to me is about how to break goals down. So you can have like a really big goal, but how do you break it into something that makes it more achievable, more realistic on a day-to-day strategy? I mean, I appreciate what you said about having a lofty goal. So I also have an Amazon business, and many years ago, I decided I was going to double my income in 1 year. And just by setting the intention, I almost did it. Yeah. And it was really interesting. It shifted everything. And I mean, I pulled that out of thin air. I was just like, yeah, let's just do that. And so I appreciate that. But at the same time, I think for our listeners, like if you're like, okay, I'm going to set, I sort of see it as two different things. It's like, have your big goal, and then how do you break it down to get there?
Yeah, so absolutely spot on. You know, you've got to have the goal. The goal is something you're working towards. So, okay, let's make it a sort of a metaphor, really. Let's say that you're traveling from London to Scotland. So your starting point is London, so that's you, and you are traveling to Scotland. That is the goal. But you have to go past Leicester, Derby, Sheffield, past Newcastle, Edinburgh, and then you're then in Scotland. So you have to have checkpoints along the way. So to bring that back into a more life-based approach, you say, okay, well, let's use the example of a book. So I want to write a book in the next 12 months.
Okay.
It seems like a pretty big task on the face of it, doesn't it, Maria? I'm like, yes. You know, writing a book in the next 12 months, poor. Your mind gets really overwhelmed. And it goes into that, as you said, mind clock, where it's scatterbrain. Well, how am I going to start this? What's it going to be called? Oh, what's the chapters, etc. Instead, let's break it down and say, okay, well, there's 365 days in a year. The book's going to be 300 pages.
Okay.
So if I do one page a day for 300 days,
yeah,
I've then finished the book and I've got 60 days, so 2 months roughly, to edit it, read it, get it published. That doesn't seem like such a bad goal, does it? Such a difficult task anymore to write one page a day. One page. Right. How many emails do you send? If you're working a 9-to-5, you will send thousands of emails a day. And you're telling me you can't write one page. And it doesn't even have to be a finished page. It could just be, you know, if you're writing a nonfiction book, it might just be research, one page of research. And then you can go through that and write something. If it's a fiction book, rather, it might be bullet points on that page about what's going to happen. You know, Harry Potter meets Ron, and then they go to the shop and they buy a wand. And it's just breaking down the actual bones, and then you add the meat to the bones later on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure J.K. Rowling didn't have all, I don't know how many books, seven books.
Yeah.
All detailed when she started, but she had the broad idea and then broke it down, and things develop along the way, don't they? So, yeah, I think for me, it's trying to stop the overwhelm by looking at how big the initial task is and breaking it down into smaller tasks. You know, IKEA, for example, you know, you have a step-by-step guide to build this wardrobe. You know, right. You don't just build it. You follow the process. So if there is a process out there that's already worked for someone, maybe look at implementing that. Yeah. There's so much information online now about how to start a podcast, how to write a book, how to become an athlete, how to become a, you know, world champion boxer or whatever it may be. Yeah. And yeah, not everything's going to work for everyone. You know, I could look at a process for becoming a professional sprinter, but I'm not 6'5". And got a leg span of, I don't know, 2 meters. It's, you know, some things aren't going to work for everyone. You have to narrow down your focus and realize what type of person you are, what skill sets you have, and what may work for you.
Right.
And that's half the battle as well.
So do you use affirmations in your day-to-day life?
Every day.
And how do you use them?
So there's a number of ways actually that I use them. So every morning I write down I've got two diaries or two journals. One is for my structure of that day. So I might have meetings, you know, lunch and take dog for a walk and done the meeting, maybe some catch up on some emails, write a bit of the book or whatever it may be, go out to do some exercise at the gym. So breaking down the day. So that's just my daily to-do list, let's call it. Aside from that, I've got another diary, and I split it into break it down to three parts, three segments, because it's like an A4 sheet. The first part is gratitude, so things I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
The second part is the goals, so the goals that I've got for the next months, year. They don't change. They're still focused on the same thing, but they may change. So first day I may say, okay, I want a certain level of income by next year. The next day I might actually just break that down into the monthly goal, but it's the same. Okay. Does that make sense? So it's what I'm feeling at that point. You know, you can't keep writing the same things out and not actually have soul input, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Otherwise, it does.
You're copy and pasting stuff.
Right.
So you've got to actually think about, okay, what is my goal? Okay. Based on, it could be something very specific, or as I said, it could be the wider goal. And the third thing is the affirmations. So I write down affirmations, and again, they may change. They may be focused towards, as you said, confidence, or it might be, you know, I'm a top salesman, or I'm going to be great on this podcast today, or whatever it may be. I also listen to affirmations as well on YouTube, like audio ones. I've done judo as well. I'm in the top 20 in the UK currently.
Wow.
That helps me to, you know, when you're going to battle, you know, that's why they used to, you know, rally the troops, so to say. But I don't have a general, so I have to be my own general. So I have to rally myself as a troop. And, you know, your mind can get into so many frames, and it's getting into the right frame at the right time. And how can you do that? Is it through affirmations? It's through music. You know, music is an affirmation to some people. You know, it puts them in a certain time frame because of the lyrics.
Yes.
So, you know, if music can do that to you, could you not program your own mind? So that's how I use affirmations, listening to them and writing them down every day and just saying good things about yourself.
Yeah. So on an average day, when mind clock strikes you, what's the first thing that you do? Like, do you first recognize that it's mind clock? Like, how do you interrupt the mind clock that could happen in your own mind?
Questions. It's got to be questions. You know, why are you feeling like this? What is it you're scared of? Have you been in a situation like this before? And what did you do? You know, because depending on what that mind clock is, but the first thing is you have to acknowledge that something's not right. And secondly, you've got to ask a question as to, again, we talked about the solutions. What is the solution for that? Is it writing something down and just getting it off your your head? I actually read something the other day, just to go slightly off topic, which is really interesting. When this particular person had a bad thought, or they were thinking about a task, they would write the task down on a piece of paper and burn it, because the psychological thing, like they've completed it, it's gone. So you know, if you past trauma or whatever it may be, you've burnt it and you've got rid of it. So yeah, I think for me it's about trying to understand your own mind, but questions for me is massive. And that's, as I've said earlier, you know, why the book is, the new book anyway, is a question a day to help you to plan your own life or understand yourself better. You know, so what personality type are you? Where do you want to be in 5 years' time? What does your ideal life actually look like? It's not going to be the same for you as it is for someone else.
Sure.
What would you do every day if money wasn't an issue? You know, all of these sorts of things. And at the end of the year, you should be in a position where future mind clock is going to be less occurrent because you've got more focus in your life. Does that make sense?
It does. I like that a lot. And I really like the idea of a question a day, because that becomes such an interesting like prompt. So I do a lot of, you know, topic for today. So it's like every time my mind goes to mind clock, instead I'm going to think of, for example, a time when I felt really confident, or a time when I felt really calm, or a time of great joy. And so as soon as mind clock starts, you're like, oh, nope, remember today we're going to focus on this instead. So it's like a way to keep the vibration higher so that you don't kind of sink into all of the garbage that mind clock hands to us.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you're doing that because you are defining yourself. You're saying, oh, well, actually, I'm a calm person. Here's a time where I was calm.
Right.
You know, you're bringing upon past experiences. And actually, if you know, if you're, you know, you're defining yourself as a calm person, as a courageous person, etc. If you do, you have to define yourself first to then live into that. You know, if you see yourself as a warrior and a, you know, let's say a boxing champion, you have to live into that. You have to be aggressive. You have to be, you know, fit, healthy. You have to have a strong mentality of domination. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a boxer and you don't have any of those things, there's going to be some disparity there. So you have to define what that person is and live into that person. And as you said, you know, you're, whether that's building off past experience or looking at the experience of someone else or defining what that experience may be, we have to live into something in order to be to become that. And it's something the Stoics said. They said, first, just define what you are or define what you want to be and then live into that. And if you want to be a doctor, you say, I want to be a doctor. Okay, right. 6 years later, you know, here we are. So it's much like that. I want to be someone who's courageous. Mm-hmm. You have to put yourself through fear then, because courage is not something that you are just born with. Courage is finding something fearful and still moving forward.
Right.
That's what courage is. It's not that you're not afraid. It's having fear and still progressing. So you then have to put yourself through fear in order to get courageous. But people want to become courageous without going through fear. So, you know, it's a chicken and egg situation, you know, which comes first. But everyone wants to be something without going through the pain. And, you know, pain is necessary to develop, isn't it? Coming out of your comfort zone. Otherwise, you know, if I didn't come out of my comfort zone, you know, I'd still be living in a cot at mum's house.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, that's true for everybody. It's like you gotta like fledge the nest and you know, make your way. And I do love the idea of, you know, who are you, who do you want to be, and how do you move towards that? So I think that makes a lot of sense. And I'm such a big fan of questions. I think questions, what I think is most interesting is that if I'm in a time of challenge and I ask myself questions, it enables me to tune into the wisest part of myself and get an answer. And it's like, that might sound nuts, but I've found all you really have to do is listen. And if you listen, then you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I know how to do this. It's going to be okay.
It's really hard sometimes to actually listen and take it on board. Because obviously, as we've talked about, you know, your mind sometimes has many thoughts. And this is why it's good to do something relaxing, whether it's meditation, you know, going to a spa day or exercising and then obviously relaxing afterwards, you know, maybe climbing a mountain and sitting at the top.
Right.
Because your mind is getting so many messages. And, you know, if we think of, you know, in America or the States, at the front of the drives, they have one of those letter boxes, don't they, at the front that open.
Yes.
If that letterbox is full of letters, the postman cannot deliver anything more into that postbox. So we have to clear that letterbox out before we can receive good, fresh, new information. So when we have a clear mind, we get good answers and we can actually open the letter pretty quickly and say, that's great. And then we can act upon it. So like you said, you know, when you go to the wisest part of yourself, that's the letter that's come through. You've opened it. You've understood it. It's got clarity because you've got a clear mind. Yeah. And then you can act upon it. And, you know, obviously the results speak for themselves afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's really, really key for me is having a clear mind. You know, everyone goes through it. I go through it all the time where my mind's got so many things.
Oh, sure.
Pen and paper is fantastic. Getting your stuff down on paper. Yeah. And looking at it from a pragmatic approach, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I really wonder, I think everyone on earth experiences mind click every day, except for possibly the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I would love is to have him on this podcast so that I could ask him, like, do you have mind click? And what do you do when you do it? You know, when you hear it. yeah. But I think we're all in that battle in our minds all the time.
Yeah, it's a constant battle. And as you said, you know, as we've talked about, there's so many things that can help, you know, whether it's the goal setting, asking questions, you know, affirmations, that you know, all of those things help in defining yourself, improving your self-esteem, being grateful. They all are separate things, but they all form part of like one lifestyle, if I want to call it that. And that's really key for me, you know, good diet and exercising, all these things. And if you can put all those things together, you'll start to see changes in your own life.
And I think that, at least for me, the more I can connect with the wisest part of myself, the less mind cluck I have. And so my goal is always to try and get back to that part of myself as quickly as I can. Sometimes I can do it faster than other times, but I think of that as sort of the, when I'm existing there, then it's much easier to see the goals and the path towards them and to be able to have the confidence and security to take the steps that I need to take to go where I want to go. So I think we're using like different words to describe the same process.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when people hear the truth, they instantly know it's the truth. You know, as you said, when you go to the wisest part of yourself and it tells you something, you just know that that's the right thing. It's the right answer. It's the truth. You just know it deep within. And it's always a question of head or gut or head or heart, as people call it.
Right.
And that's the difficult part. You know, sometimes it's a case of, not saying for everyone, quitting your job, burning the boats and going for it. And your gut tells you, just quit your job. But your head says, well, how am I going to pay bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And again, you look at the negative side, where actually things tend to work out for the best in the end. So you've quit your job and something just happens where you don't even know why you're worried. You know, every business starts from a point of commitment and sacrifice.
Sure, sure.
You know, sometimes you just got to jump ship. And look, if it goes wrong, you can always go back to the life you had previously if you really want to. You can go back to this, maybe not in the same business or company, but definitely a similar job if you really want to.
Yeah.
So you can go backwards, but don't stay still, because then you're not going forwards. And by default, you are, in fact, going backwards, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. So I think that's a place for us to start to wrap up. Is there anything that you would like to tell our audience about your book? I've got, so for our listeners, I will have links to reach Jeevan in the show notes. For people who are watching this on video, you'll see there's been a ticker scrolling with a website. Anything that you would like to say as some last words to our audience, Jeevan?
Yeah, so just as you said about the book or books, one is available on Amazon currently. It's called Become a Person of Value. So as we talked about earlier, you have to be a valuable person to, you know, get the best job, best career, best spouse, be in the best position mentally, and any other thing that you want, you have to be the best you know, the person of the highest value you can be. So the first book is about that. The second book, okay, which is more what we've discussed today, is a question a day. So every morning, you know, you open the book, there's a new fresh question there for you to answer. You write down your initial thoughts. There is then a page of, or a paragraph of guidance. Uh-huh. So have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Potentially look at this. Maybe there's some information for you that you need in order to answer the question. So as an example, what personality type are you? There are the 16 Myers-Briggs personality types in there for you to refer to, and then you can work that out. Then after the guidance, there is a second page for you to write even more detail. So at the end of the 365 days, you will have a much greater understanding of yourself and what you're actually after in life, and hopefully that will help you get rid of the mind clock.
That sounds like I can't wait for this book to come out. Do you know when it's going to come out?
We're looking towards the end of the year.
Okay,
hopefully we'll have it finished by October. But as we talked about earlier, and that's the reason I sort of used that example of a book, because you know, it's 365 or 366 questions, because obviously you get leap years. So I'm going to do 366.
Yeah.
But it's basically a page a day. So can I write a page a day for it to be finished in a year? The goal was a year and a half, because obviously, you know, you've got to go back through things, make sure everything's okay. But we're hopefully looking towards the end of the year.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. And everyone, I will update the link so that when that book comes out, you will be able to find it in the show notes. All right. Well, Jeevan, thank you so much for joining me today. This was a great conversation.
Thank you very much for having me on, Maria. And hopefully we'll do this again sometime.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, everyone, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. All right. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clock clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.